You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
Well, my name's David Buckingham. I'm a professor at the Institute of Education, which is part of London University, and I run a research centre, which is called the Centre for the Study of Children, Youth and Media.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for giving up your time, David. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
I've been looking at your stuff online, very, very interested. Really interested, picked up straight away how you view that we need to empower young people as critical consumers of the media, as well as producers in their own right. And I just wanted to explore that a little bit with what you do at the centre there.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, perhaps if I give you a sense of some of the kind of things that we've been doing over the last sort of couple of years and some of the current things. We do a range of projects. Some of them are very educational. So my background is as a media studies teacher. Several of the people who work here have that background. So we've got an interest in working with young people, both in schools but also outside schools in more sort of community-type settings. And doing media study, but also media production with them. Mm. And then we're also interested in young people as an audience for media or as users of media a bit more generally. So it partly has an educational take, but we're also just interested in what young people are doing with these media. I think the thing that you quoted off our website is partly saying that, you know, we're very strongly interested in the whole argument around media literacy. I think we think that young people are already quite sophisticated, quite critical users of media. But I think there are also things that they don't know, things that they need to know more about. So I think there's a role for education in all of this. But I also think that there's a role, particularly in the current context with new media, there's an opportunity for young people to get much more involved in making media, in being creative makers of media and participants in media. So it's all of those things, really.
Okay, well, thanks for that. I'd love to explore with you, because I can imagine the media landscape from an academic point of view has changed so much in the last 20 years, and probably what you were teaching 20 years ago, you're definitely not teaching now. I just want to get a flavour from you. What are the big changes from an academic point of view, from what you guys are doing?
Well, yes, I've been here for ages and ages, actually, and I've been working in this area really, all my professional life. So, I would say, there are various kind of obvious changes in the media landscape. You know, one of them it would be just the proliferation of media, how much more media there is out there. If you think about the kinds of things that can happen on screens in people's homes, you know, when I first started doing work in this area, actually I started in film studies, and I started getting interested in television. But, you know, since that time, we've had computer games, we've had the internet, we've had a whole series of new areas that we've begun to work on. So the range of options and possibilities out there has vastly increased. Mm-hmm. I think one aspect of that, though, is that also a lot of it is commercially driven. So I think one thing that really needs to be taken on academically, but also more generally, is the increasing importance of a commercial forces in all of that, which I think, you know, has its problems as well as offering opportunities. I think one big difference is that although I don't think we can simply say that television is a passive medium and the internet is an active medium, nevertheless I do think there's a way in which new media offer many more opportunities for participation on young people's part. So the way in which young people can post their own content on the internet, in a range of different media, not just writing, but also video and photographs and so on. That's something that we're very interested in. And I think generally a sense in which young people are becoming much more actively participating in what's going on.
Mm. And obviously you teach as well. You do an MA at the uni there. And I'm wondering, really, the logistics of how you teach something like media education, because it must be a moving target.
Well, it is, yes. And certainly if you look at what we're doing now compared with what we were doing 20 years ago, it is vastly different. So we're now doing courses about computer games, we're doing courses about digital video production, we're doing courses that have a kind of new media feel to them. having said that, a lot of the same concerns continue. So I still think it's important when people come and study this area that they learn how to do detailed analysis of media, that they learn how you look at media audiences. A lot of our concerns about children and young people run right through this. So, okay, there are new issues with new media, but nevertheless, we need to have a sense of the history of those debates. So I think things are shifting. I think one of the important things that we do, and I think is now a much bigger part of what we do, is the practical stuff. So having, in a sense, what we're doing is we practice what we preach. So having said that, these media offer important opportunities for production, for participation. Actually, that's also true with our courses. So students come and they can do, more or less traditional academic courses, but they're also doing practical courses where they're making media themselves and then reflecting on that and analysing that. So trying very much, even at this level, and I'm talking about MA courses, to tie together the theory and the practice of critical analysis and the creative production. And I think, that's what happens at a school level, or should be happening at a school level, but I think there's no reason why it shouldn't happen at a higher education level as well.
Very important, definitely. Now let's kind of explore something you're doing within the centre. I've been clicking around on the web, checking you guys out, and I'm really kind of interested and excited by the Civic Web. And this is just a part of what you guys do, isn't it? It's just the one project within. So give us a better overview of what Civic Web is all about.
Okay, well, this is a fairly new project. We've really just started on this in the last few months. We've actually done a few projects in the past funded by the European Commission, and this one is funded by Europe. We've got, I think, 7 partners across Europe in different countries.
Wow.
And what we're basically looking at is to what extent the internet, the web, can promote civic participation among young people.
Okay.
So in a way, the background of this is the arguments that people are often raising that, young people are getting less and less interested in politics, they're apathetic, they're not involved in the political process. And the question then is, well, can new media provide a way of re-engaging them in that process? There are big debates here, because I think one of the problems is that very often it gets into blaming young people for being, like I said, apathetic or lazy or whatever. I would say a lot of the blame for the situation that's arisen, the kind of decline of democracy that people talk about, is actually a lot of the blame lies with the politicians, lies with the traditional media that don't really make an effort to reach out to young people, to engage young people, to speak to young people in a language that they can relate to. So I think the question then is, with the internet, with more participatory media, are there different kind of opportunities for young people to get engaged in social, political issues and activities than was the case in the past? Now, I mean, that's our question. I would say, in terms of the answer, well, get back to me in 3 years' time. But, I would say, I would want, with all of this, to caution against a kind of too easy optimism about this. I think there are still issues about the digital divide, that the internet isn't necessarily available to everybody. I think very often what you tend to get is the usual suspects. You tend to get kinds of people who are perhaps active politically, civically active anyway, will also be using this medium for that purpose. But whether or not the medium can actually reach out to people who aren't already active, I think that's a more difficult thing. And in some ways, I would say, if you want to raise a social issue or a political issue, in many ways, the internet might not be the most effective way of doing it. What you want to do is you want to get on telly, for example. You want to find something that reaches out to people who don't necessarily see themselves as going out and and finding the information on their own behalf. Mm,
definitely. Well, we'll look with interest when that report comes out in 3 years' time. That'll be really interesting to see how that unfolds. I really want to wrap this up now, maybe with a question pertaining to your kind of take on where you see the big media moves coming in the next couple of years for you, again, as an academic, as a teacher. Where do you see kind of media moving towards?
Well, I think there are interesting questions, really, about how old media are going to survive and change in the new climate. I mean, I think there are interesting questions about whether old print media, I'm thinking newspapers, for example, are actually going to survive or are going to have to radically change their form and also how they're sold and marketed. I think there are going to be interesting questions about broadcast television, interesting questions about institutions like the BBC, whether there is a place for public media, for publicly funded media. I mean, I feel very strongly there should be, and I think there are things that public service media can do that commercial media probably won't do. But those are big, and I think they're going to be very contested issues in the future.
Definitely. Okay, David, well, thanks very much for your time, and thanks for speaking to Media Snackers. Really appreciate it.
Okay, cheers.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.